Hoes, hoes, hoes. Our normal episode, What's This Movie, news, reviews, all of that is on vacation. For this special episode, we are going to grab some nog, sit by the fire, and only talk about Christmas. We're going to build a perfect Christmas movie. We're going to have a carol or a poem of some sort, and maybe even a few memories. And when you hear this sound, those sleigh bells right there, when you hear that, that means Santa himself has dropped by to answer a few of our listener Santa letters. So look forward to that. Welcome to the Hollywood Outsiders 4th Annual Holiday Special. My name is Aaron Peterson. I'll be your host. Joining me today are my fellow host, Scotty Clark.
Hey, what's up, man? I will not be singing the Christmas poem this year.
Why not?
I'm just going to put it out there.
Let's get there. Don't ruin my hype. I'm kind of jazzed. And also joining us, John Davenport.
Ho, ho, hoes, I guess.
You know what? You know what? We have a requirement, John. You have to act like you like Christmas this year. Got to do it.
I love Christmas, man.
I don't know
what you're talking about.
Yeah, really? Scott and I are both like, we're not convinced. So you're going to have to convince us this year. Can you do that?
We'll have to see what I can do, but I don't know what you guys are talking about. I am the king of Christmas.
No, not at all. No, you.
I am too.
I don't. What was that Princess Bride quote? That word. It does not mean what you think it means.
It does not mean what you think it means. You keep using that word.
Well, are you guys all ready for the holidays? Anything special going on this year? Scotty, you're festive.
I'm festive. Sure. I mean, holidays for me, man, are like family after family after family, which is funny because none of it's my family.
It's all your wife's family?
It's all my wife's. Well, no, I take it back. One of them is because usually I do Christmas with my brother and his wife on Christmas Day, but like at night. So after we do the normal things, we do that. But this year, since my wife has to work the day after Christmas, we decided to make it an early night. So Saturday, we're getting together with my brother.
Oh.
So Saturday night, that night we've got a 60th birthday party with my wife's aunt. Mm. That's Saturday. Sunday is Christmas with my wife's grandma. Have I told you about my wife's grandma before?
Yes, you have.
Yes. Yeah. So you're familiar with how that goes. And then Monday's Christmas.
And listeners don't need to hear that. They don't really care.
And Christmas Day is with my wife's family. And so 3 days in a row of Christmas for me.
It's like that Vince Vaughn movie.
Four Christmases. Except, because there was divorced parents and that. Except none of it's my family. Well, I guess my brother's in there. But
sound better a little bit. A little bit?
No, it's just crazy because everyone's like, oh, you get 2 weeks
just
off.
None of it's my family. Well, I mean, except my brother. You know, that guy. He counts, I hear.
I do have something really cool planned, though. I told you about it, but I didn't tell John. I don't think I told John. This is really awesome. If you guys remember, obviously Star Wars is a big movie for me. Mm-hmm. I am so excited to see Star Wars.
And the world.
I've heard of it.
But it's a big deal for me. I haven't bought tickets yet. I was one of those that I didn't pre-order tickets or whatever.
I haven't either, man.
As it turns out, it's a good thing I didn't because the parents of one of my students contacted me over the week and said, hey, my dad, my student's grandfather, mm-hmm. works for a big insurance investment investment company, and they rented out a theater on that Thursday.
The whole screen.
The whole screen. That one screen.
So when are we going? What time is the show?
You weren't invited.
I'm more than happy to go.
It was
friends. If you need arm candy.
Arm candy? Yeah. That's what my wife's for. Sorry, but
I'm just letting you know, I think if you put us together, you might be surprised which you pick.
So anyway, this parent contacted me and said,
see how he didn't say no, Jeff.
My dad rented out this entire theater, and we're supposed to invite friends and family of people that work for this company, mm-hmm. and we'd like to invite you and your wife
That's
to go.
Cool.
So I'm going with one of my students for Star Wars, which I think is awesome.
And none of those people are going to use their phones during the movie because they're work people. They're like, I'm going to see him on Thursday, so I'm going to keep it cool.
Probably. Yeah. Here's what I'm hoping, though, because I don't know if I told you on the show – but I was in a wedding a while ago where the groom bought us all lightsabers. Mm-hmm. So I have like a legit lightsaber, but it broke, literally broke on the dance floor when we actually did our little
like
lightsaber.
Like Darth Maul did. Irony.
Yeah. Except I was one of the good guys. So okay. it hasn't been fixed yet. I contacted the guy and said, dude, I really want to have this lightsaber for when I go to the theater. Because how cool would that be to show that to a kid?
Just duct tape it.
No, it's not a duct tape. It's not a like broken. It's like it won't light up.
Oh. Issue. Well, and so. You just throw... Go find some of that stuff from the glowing penis movie that John Ritter was in years ago and just rub that on it. Penis? Get like a glowing condom.
What are you talking
There's
about?
There's that. Glowing? That's a good idea. Glowing condom, because condoms stretch out to a massive
Yes, and I'm sure that parent will be very excited with me that I put a glow-in-the-dark condom on a lightsaber.
It'll be glowing. It'll be
for her 10-year-old daughter.
Who knows? It could turn into a key party. You'll be all right.
What about you? That just made Scott's party weird. John, what about you? Where are you going?
I'm really excited to have Christmas with my brother and my sister and my dad and my wife and all their families. I mean, they're awesome. I can't wait to be around them. I get to feel whole when I'm around my family, and it's just a great feeling. I'm excited.
I am gonna just have a very small one this year. My parents are actually out of town for Christmas. Two years in a row,
right?
Yeah, they were last year. Just ruins Christmas. Thanks a lot, Mom and Dad. Because I know
thanks a lot, Arizona.
They actually listened to this the Christmas episode, the holiday episode, on Christmas last year. So I'm hoping when they listen to this, they know how sad they made me on Christmas Day. Because I'm not seeing my parents. But I'm sure we'll Skype. It's the same thing. Come on. It's 2000.
Hey, at least you can get your dad to use Skype.
No, my dad doesn't do very well with it. I mean, it's a lot of fumbling around and the camera's always pointed at the ceiling.
Yeah, but he tries. My dad is like, technology? Nope.
That sucks. Your dad sucks.
He does.
My kids are coming too, so I'll see them, hopefully. Because I got the gifts, so they have to come here. It's like, right. That's what Christmas has become. It's bribery to see your children. It's like, you know what? If you want the really nice presents, you got to come to me. Because I ain't shipping them. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it, son.
They're on the back porch whenever you want to come pick them up.
Yep.
But they're in a. You have to come and press a button, and it starts a timer. And then 3 hours later, that box opens up.
Yep.
So you have to actually stay here for 3 hours.
It's like if you take longer than, say, December 27th, I might have some new toys. That's all I'm saying. You don't want to do that. So what do you guys consider? I mean, everybody's decorating their houses this time of year, and I'm kind of curious. What do you guys consider the maximum amount of Christmas decoration? Like, where's good and where is Clark Griswold?
For me, it depends on who's actually doing the decorations. Like, if I'm going to somebody's house and they have, like, animatronics that are, you know, in a whole scene, and they've got, like, one section of the yard is, like, Christland, which has the manger and all that.
Christland.
And then the other section is, like, Santa Claus land, and it's got all these animatronic Santa Claus figures. I think that's really cool, and I really dig it. But if it's me doing it, then it's just getting me a tree. And you might be lucky if you get one of those lasers out in front that, like, shines lights on the house that makes it look like lit the damn house.
That is the godsend, by the way.
I love those.
I've got one of those.
That's about as far as I go for myself. But I love it when everybody else goes nuts.
Yeah, John, simpatico. That is exactly me. I do not want to put forth the effort to do it. I adore seeing people that do that. I don't have a problem with, like, the neighbors, like Clark's neighbors.
Yeah, I've got a neighbor down the street that, like, his whole house is
I think that's awesome. As long as I don't have to set it up or tear it down, man. That's the thing is, like, I love Christmas. I love seeing the lights. I don't want to have any part of putting up those lights or taking them down in the middle of January or February when it's butt-ass cold.
Me either. When do you guys put these trees up? I don't even put my tree up to, like, December 20th.
We usually my wife and I usually put our tree up like right after Thanksgiving, but we have a fake tree. We don't use a real one, so it doesn't matter. But yeah, it's usually like right away.
I got a fake tree and it still doesn't go up until December 20th. I don't care. It's a lot of work.
I put mine up like 3 days before Thanksgiving because I wanted to do something special for my wife and I was bored.
Aw, that's very nice.
There you go.
There's so many ornaments.
We can't put the tree up alone. That's like a faux pas, man. You don't put that's like a family thing.
And you know what sucks about it? Son, if you're listening. Because, like, I've always had a tradition of, like, when you put the tree up and me and the kids put the ornaments up together, because every year I buy them an ornament specific to that. One ornament each. Yeah.
Okay, we're going to come back to that.
We each get one ornament and we go around the tree and we hang it on the tree. And, you know, my son kind of lives a good distance from us now, so it's a little bit more of a headache. So he can never really make it for that. So it kind of takes away from that. Mm-hmm. And so I'm hanging up his ornaments all, like, sad. Then I'll hang up my daughter and I'm like, hey. Then
why don't you Skype him in for that?
Skyping the ornament hanging? That just feels weird. It just feels
weird. It's the same thing. You know what? You get one of those little robots where it's like the screen with wheels.
Oh, that would be cool. Or maybe he could control a drone.
There you go.
From where he's at. All right. What do we want to come back to?
You got a drone flying in your living room.
Hey, it's Christmas, man. 2017, almost 18.
I've got to give you kudos for only buying your kids one Christmas ornament because my dad buys me at least 12 every year.
Why?
My dad.
You only got one tree.
My dad doesn't understand that people aren't as obsessed with things as he is.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad is obsessed with greeting cards and ornaments. And he,
that's sweet.
I mean, it's sweet. It is sweet.
It's annoying.
It's a, well, that's because it happens to you. But to us, because it's, yeah, it's punishment to you, it's sweet.
We literally like, yeah, had to, we had like a giant tub of ornaments that we're not putting all these up. We pick one out of the pile that he gives us, and then we put on the tree for that year, and the rest go to like,
I would say treasures you are failing galore as a son. You put every ornament up, every single one.
Dude.
I'm line them up on the floor, make a bowling alley.
I am not a bowling alley. I am not putting up four Christmas trees in my house. It's just not happening.
That's great, though.
Like, seriously.
Yeah, just one a year. Because the idea, my mom actually started that when, and guys, if you're listening, this is a great tradition for your own children. She gave me an ornament every year so that at some point when I became an adult, had my own place and had my own tree, she could hand me those ornaments, which she did. And then I had automatically had my own personal ornaments for my tree.
That's what we did too. Yeah, yeah. I got my very first ornament from my you know, baby's first Christmas ornament.
It sounds like you got all 100,000 of your ornaments. Keep them all,
man. I told you one per year.
Wow, you ditched them?
Yeah, dude.
You can't throw away Christmas presents, Scott.
You watch me.
No, John, are you with me on this one?
Wait, so you freaking throw out Christmas presents? That's some bullshit, dude.
Dude, Christmas ornaments are not Christmas presents.
Oh. Yes, they are.
Are they all relevant to you?
What do you mean?
Like, do they all like pertain to something that involve you?
Did he specifically pick them out and say, or were they like, here's 12 ornaments that I got at Target and they're all in the same package?
No, it's like, here's 12 random ones that I liked that you should like also.
And you actually place them in the garbage can? Or
no, I told you I take them to Treasures Galore and I donate them.
But you get rid of them in some way. I don't know, listeners.
Dude,
you're going to have to weigh in on
this. I'm not exaggerating when I say 12 ornaments a year.
I don't know. What? My soul's too clean. I couldn't throw them away.
No. Yeah, I wouldn't be able to throw them away either. I would actually have them in a box stuffed someplace, and they would never be seen, but at least they would be like in my possession.
That's
still
not going to fly with my wife.
Are we blaming your wife now?
No.
Is that what we're doing?
My wife is completely like not a hoarder. Like if there's an opposite word for hoarder, that's my wife. She is
lame. Hold on.
Lame is what I'm thinking.
Wait, your wife doesn't like package stuff in bins and tries to store them everywhere in the house?
Oh, no. We've got bins, but they're not everywhere in the house. They're in one room that are clearly labeled with a label maker and have a purpose.
You have a label maker?
That's so sexy.
Oh, we have a label maker, man.
That's not sexy.
I put a
label. That is totally sexy. I live with a hoarder. It's totally sexy.
Hey, guys, do you hear that? I think Santa's here. Hang on. We're transitioning.
It was so awkward. I still had more to go.
Nope. Guys, did you hear that? I think it's Santa.
I knew him.
Welcome to the Ho, Santa. How are you?
Ho, ho, ho. Oh, jeez. Bitches.
You're not Santa.
He's my Santa.
Oh. How's it going, fellas?
Good. How are things up north? Through the
they're
south
warmer
wind
than normal, you know, global warming and all that.
That's good.
We're wearing,
you got a nice
wearing
sauna
shorts
now,
up here.
Don't you?
Yeah, yeah. We're, you know, we're wearing shorts up here. It's not a, you know, the reindeer kind of shedding their thick coats a little bit. Rudolph's half naked at this point.
Are you hunting them yet?
Nah.
I don't know when reindeer season is there, so I was just checking. I mean, there's only, what, 8?
There's more reindeer than just those 8, man.
They just got a few.
Reindeer Games.
Mm. Oh, great movie. That's a great Christmas movie right there.
Yeah, it is. Speaking of hoes, I know she's a big listener, so how come Mrs. Claus never gives you a hand?
Oh, she gives daddy. She gives daddy a hand. Jeez. See what I'm saying? He's kind of.
Back when we had the explicit tag.
We still have
reading
it
between the elves there.
Yeah, I read between the elves. Well, gang, Santa agreed to drop by and read a few letters from listeners and respond directly to them on air. So keep in mind, Santa's had a rough year. I think he lost 2 elves and a candy cane related work injury. So I can't promise he's going to be completely jolly, but he's going to respond as deemed appropriate by him. So he's going to respond to you directly, listeners. I think that's great. Are you ready for your first letter, Santa?
Yeah, bring it on. Bring it on.
All right. I didn't ever think I'd ever hear Santa say, bring it on. Okay. This comes from Masal Young. He says, Dear Santa, For the most part this year, I've been a sarcastic son of a bitch. But hey, I'm honest. What I want for Christmas is a sequel to I Am Number 4, and also for Rotten Tomatoes to die out. Thanks, big guy.
All right, so you're a dick. And you want a sequel to a kind of a bad movie, so I can't help with that. And unfortunately, Rotten Tomatoes, there's nothing I can do about that. So, yeah, maybe Easter. Maybe talk to the Easter Bunny. He might bring you a little bit more than just some turds in a basket. Santa's got nothing. What's next?
Thanks, Santa. Now I think we go to John's letter.
All right. So Christina Flores says, "Dear Santa, I've worked so very hard this year and I've been a pretty good girl. For Christmas, I'd love the entire Harry Potter collection on DVD or Blu-ray, as well as the entire Big Bang Theory series streaming on Amazon Prime or Netflix. Additionally, I'd love a stress-free time to sit and watch them. Thanks, Santa. Sincerely, crazy working mother of an army."
Well, Christina, first of all, yes, you've been a very good girl. Raising all 27 of those kids, underappreciated job. And I just, on behalf of the rest of the host, want to thank you for doing that. However, I can't do anything about the companies like Amazon and Netflix. They handle their own stuff. I don't get into the business and the politics and all that stuff. So that's their deal. I got enough stuff running around all over the world. I'll do what I can to free you up a little time to catch up on this stuff, though. But for the most part, yeah, you're pretty much SOL, too. But hey, we like you.
Santa's not very giving this year. Jeez.
Shut your pie hole. What else you got?
All right. It is time. Thanks, Santa. We're going to come. I'm sure he'll pop back up. Whenever you hear that sound, that means Santa just might be coming to visit, and we'll read some more letters. Okay, but now we're going to go to our Building a Perfect Christmas movie. Now, you've heard us do this before. We've done this on previous podcasts. We built a perfect horror movie. We built a perfect, I think, summer blockbuster. Is that one of them we did? I don't remember. But yeah. Now we're going to build the perfect Christmas movie. But to do that, we got to understand where everybody sits. What do you each love about Christmas movies? Like, what has to be in it for you to say, add that baby into the rotation?
Dude, I know you're going to throw this at me first. I'm so tired of the diehard debate. I do not want to get into the is.
Okay, but what
wait,
has
how
to
we
be.
Get to the diehard debate?
Yeah, it has nothing
already
to do with diehard. It feels like you're trying to get the diehard. Nobody brought up diehard.
Everybody is singling me out on the Facebook group, and I'm getting tagged in all these posts about we need to get this ornament for Scott because it's clearly a Christmas movie. I don't know
why
Sly Stone came
out. Just throw it away, anyways.
Yeah, so what has to be in the Christmas movie to be a Christmas movie?
It has to have something to do with the Christmas spirit.
Like a Christmas party?
No, it has to have Christmas spirit. The idea behind Christmas is
like
that
saving a bunch of innocent people you don't know?
Like a husband and wife coming back together again and falling in love?
Reuniting a family?
Oh my God. Right.
I mean, if you're going there, I'm just connecting the dots. You continue.
The idea behind the Christmas spirit is it's that time of year where you just let things go and just kind of open up and be human.
An AK-47. Sorry. <Damn it.
laughs> On a bunch of terrorists.
Sorry, continue.
Sorry. How many times are you going to say sorry?
Lots.
I got a few. You know what? It's his show. Let's say sorry a lot.
It's our show. Come on.
No, there's got to be something about just being a better person, not being the person that saves all these people from terrorists and throws a guy off the roof.
All right.
I get why you guys like that movie for that, but like, there's got to be something cheerful. There's got to be something that reminds you of the humanity and how good people can be, not how heroic you can be. And again, not trying to bring up that argument, but that's what
brought it up. We did not mention Die Hard at all.
If I didn't bring it up, someone was going to yell at me in the comments.
I wasn't
going to
bring it up.
No, not you.
But if you're going to bring it up, I will say that all of those things exist in Die Hard.
No, they
don't. Die Hard is just another way of doing the Christmas Carol.
It is.
What?
Yeah. Albert Finney's in like one of the scenes if you look really close. way in the background.
Oh, I'm happy for you guys that you want Die Hard to be a Christmas movie so bad. It feels like he
wants to fight about this, doesn't it, John?
It really does.
Yeah, it feels like you're just picking a scab that nobody was picking at. I don't know. I mean, yeah, that's cool.
Oh, yeah. So nobody's been picking at that scab. I've been
maybe
like,
on the internet.
How many posts have I been tagged in on the group?
I wonder why.
Yeah,
because you don't understand the importance of Die Hard and Christmas. John, what about you? What do you need to have in a Christmas movie?
All right, so when I think about my favorite Christmas movies or Christmas stories, period, they do have some sort of redemption line to it, and that's where I get, like, you get Christmas Carol or every iteration, which is like Die Hard or Scrooged. I love that.
What redemption story is there in Die Hard?
He was lost his wife. He came across the country to get her back, yeah. And he gets her back. He was redeemed as a hero.
He's a deadbeat
and a man.
He literally wore a wife beater.
Oh. Touché.
Now you're looking at the movie in a whole different light, aren't you?
No, I'm not really, because it still holds. So, but continue, John. Holds up.
But also, another one of my very favorite Christmas stories is the gift of the Magi. You guys know that one, right?
Yes, but yeah. You're stealing my thunder for my story, but okay.
All right. So I really dig seeing that. I dig seeing people who, you know, on one side, I dig seeing people who have just broken souls and they have that one special moment that helps start the healing and helps them start becoming more of a full-fledged, like, happy person. And I also love seeing people just give everything they can without any sort of consideration for themselves. I love those kind of stories a lot. So that's what I have to have in mind.
I have to have family. And some kind of lesson learned. Family. So, is it sad that we can't even say that word now without
being
ruined?
Dude, I just got done watching 8 Fast and the Furious movies. You can't say the word family without me.
It's not just that. It's any movie. I heard something in somebody else, some other movie. Oh, I think it was Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, which I guess ironically has Vin Diesel in it. But Dave Bautista says family, and all I keep thinking is family. I mean, you just can't not hear it. You ruined the word for me, jackass, Vin Diesel. Wonderful, wonderful cinema star. You have ruined that word for me. I need family and a lesson learned. So, to me, Christmas is about family and about love. And when you have a less than perfect person remembering why Christmas matters, that's really what works to me. And also, I need John McClane. If he can really show up in every movie, I think it'll make everything a Christmas adventure. So what cannot be in it? Like, if this happens, you almost immediately check out.
All right. So this is going to sound very weird. And let me preface this by saying that I am
weird
Catholic. Well, I am weird too. Yeah, but I am Catholic and I do the whole church thing like a lot of good Catholics do, which is really on Christmas and Easter.
I believe it's called Mass.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, stand up, sit down, fight. That's what we do. But it may sound silly, but what really makes me crazy when it comes to Christmas movies is when they start playing the religious angle way too heavily. And it sounds unfair because, yes, it is a religious holiday, but it's also a period in which people decide to be better about themselves. They decide to be better towards their fellow man, and they start really just warming up a little bit. And I think that when you start pushing that religious angle too much, you start being really exclusive in the whole idea of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And I would rather keep it more inclusive and let it be something that everyone can appreciate. Where I could say, you can say something to somebody in a Christmas movie, "Hey, Merry Christmas," and they turn around, "Hey, thanks so much, Happy Hanukkah," because it's just more of a everyone just appreciates it in their own way.
That's an exchange I've literally never heard.
"Hey, Happy Hanukkah."
"Merry Christmas," followed by "Hey, Happy Hanukkah."
Right, and the reason why is because a Christian person, "Hey, Merry Christmas." A Jewish person, "Oh, thank you, Happy Hanukkah," in return, because that you get instead of being, "Hey, I'm not Christian, I'm Jewish," or "I'm not Jewish, I'm Christian," or anything else like that. Well, you get people just saying, "Hey, you know what? Somebody just wished me great in their language. I'm going to wish them something great in my language."
Well, people don't wear pieces of flair anymore to know which religion they subscribe to.
Jesus Christ.
Well, see, the Jews don't believe in that person, so like that's kind of my whole argument.
Do they not believe in Jesus at all?
Yeah,
I really don't subscribe.
They believe he existed.
They believe he's a prophet. They believe he existed and he was a prophet, but not the Son of God. Son of God. I think is how it goes.
You know, we got that all wrong, and somebody's really pissed right now because I have no idea.
If you watch The Good Place, that one guy got it right. What, 97%? What was it?
So what can what cannot be in it for you, Scott? Like, what can't be in your movie?
Horror.
Horror? You can't have horror in your Christmas movie?
No. I hate these, like, Santa sleigh. And, like these movies that
S-L-A-Y.
Are...
S-L-A-Y?
Yes.
Yes.
I can't do it. You guys had... This isn't Halloween. You had your time a couple months ago. This is Christmas. Stop trying to make horror movies. And the funny thing is, I'm going to be totally hypocritical when I say this, because... I really want to see Krampus. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, Krampus is good. I got my movies everywhere. You can watch it.
Do you?
We can watch it together.
We should. We haven't watched a movie together, not in a theater in a while.
The Room.
That I said a movie.
Oh, yeah.
Not a film. Not a film.
Good call.
So that wasn't in the theater. We saw Thor in the theater.
So you can't have horror. What else can't you have?
That's it. I don't want to be...
And John McClane. He can't have John McClane.
Nowhere near in my Christmas movie. No, I just... I just anything that makes it not feel like the Christmas puts me in the Christmas mood.
Is Scott really getting antsy over there? Is he like, like it sounds like he's about to have like a roid rage or something.
Fear me. I've got two things. There's two things I can't have in my Christmas movie. The first is, this is going to sound weird, but presents. Now let me finish though. It's as soon as the movie is about finding that perfect gift, that's when it starts becoming a Christmas movie to me.
All right, well, I'm done with, I'm going to skip my story then.
Well, no, because, like, to me, like, Christmas is already diluted by greed. The whole holiday is already about buying and buying and buying and getting. It's not about, for what I see people talking about or hearing people talking about, it isn't about what I think it should be. And if that's all the hero cares about in the movie, I stop caring. I just don't care about that hero. There's a Schwarzenegger movie. I don't remember what it was.
Jingle All the Way.
Yeah, Jingle All the Way. Thank you.
Oh, I was totally joking.
No, that's right. And
that's right.
Where he's searching for Turbo Man, and it's like
Turbo Man.
Okay, Turbo Man. And the whole movie is like him trying to get this toy for the kid. I checked out like 10 minutes into that movie. I'm just like, screw this. I don't care, because to me, I'm like, if your kid is, I gotta get the perfect toy for him, you're raising that kid wrong. So I'm not invested in that. And that's not the story I want in a Christmas movie. The other thing, this is going to sound weird, I don't like Santa in my Christmas movies. I'm sorry, Santa, that was just here. But I don't like Santa in my Christmas movies.
Like, at all? Like, you don't like the Santa Claus?
I mean, there's a couple exceptions. I like the Santa Claus with Tim Allen. Mm-hmm. That was actually pretty good. I prefer some degree of realism, even if it's absurd, like Die Hard. or It's a Wonderful Life. As soon as, like, a fat magic man shows up, I kind of...
A fat magic man.
I mean, I'm still enjoying it, but it takes me, the Christmas spirit part of it, out for me a little bit.
You can't take me. I'm Santa Claus.
I don't know how to feel about that, because, like...
I know that I'm alone in that. I'm just... It's a weird thing to me. I've never believed in Santa Claus, so I kind of just never... It's sweet because he just showed up on our show, and that's really cool, because I didn't know he was a real thing.
Yeah, but turns out he's an asshole.
No, I thought he was wonderful, because he's giving kids what they need to know. But yeah, I just, whenever Santa shows up, I'm kind of, except for the big exception is Miracle on 34th Street. I adore that movie.
Well, that was all about like whether or not he was real.
Real. And, yeah. And like I said, a semblance of realism, and I'm behind it. Santa Claus probably works for me because there is a semblance of realism to it. Like, it's sure. A regular guy just trying, you know, it's not just the magical fat man running around trying to make all the houses in $6 or $7 billion homes worldwide, making them all in one night, because mathematically it's improbable. It just can't be done.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. I realize.
Judge Reinhold, listen up.
I am the problem. I realize that. It's just something I don't like in my Christmas movie.
Adults don't actually believe in Santa, man.
I realize that. I'm just telling you the things that I don't particularly want in my Christmas movie. Like, my perfect Christmas movie would not have Santa in
it. Okay, like, I watched Polar Express with my wife this weekend. And that's a movie that I don't love, but I appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Santa was a big deal in that movie. Like, when you finally...
Hey, he's a big deal everywhere to millions of kids worldwide.
Right. But in this movie, it was that thing that to reach. It was like the climactic moment in that movie was finally seeing Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in other movies, I get it from your perspective, where in other movies, Santa is like just a regular thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, he's just there.
It's magic.
At the beginning.
You know, it's like, he's a big magic thing.
Right. Which,
man. So would you rather Santa Claus be treated like Jaws?
Like, you never see
him. Like, you never see him. And
that's
just,
that's
like,
kind of what I was getting to.
He just eats random strangers. Yeah, I'd be cool with that. Because that brings, because I like horror in my Santa Claus movie. So.
And then he's got a theme song that's like the Jaws theme, but instead it's Jingle Bells. Ching, ching.
Yeah.
Ching, ching.
Oh, that thing. Cool. Or it'd be like, ching,
ho, 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 ho. Dude, we have an idea.
I would watch that.
We have an idea.
I would watch that.
Santa sleigh.
Even Scott's coming around and he's like, you know what? Now I like horror in my Christmas movie.
Screw horror. Screw horror.
He likes peanut butter in his chocolate.
Who doesn't like peanut butter in their chocolate?
Terrorists.
Okay, it's a commercial. Keep up.
Dude, we don't watch commercials. Everything streams commercial-free now. Why do you live in 1936?
I live in 1980 when that commercial was something.
I don't remember that commercial.
I don't remember that commercial.
Speaking of commercials, can I really quick mention there is a current commercial that I did see that I absolutely love, and it has to do with Santa. I know you don't like Santa.
I like our Santa.
Okay. Anyway, yeah. So there's a commercial where there's a mom and her son are in a grocery store, and the kid sees a guy that looks like Santa. He's got the beard and he's wearing red for whatever reason. Yeah. And the kid is like talking to him, whatever. The mom sees this happening and stops him and says, I'm so sorry, blah, 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 and then walks away. And the kid turns around to look at the guy that's like Santa, and the guy that looks like Santa just does this one little thing. He looks at the kid and holds his finger up to his lips and says, shh, and winks at him.
Mm-hmm. And okay, that's cool.
And the kid has this look in his eye like, oh, okay, I get it. You know what I mean? It's just a simple little commercial that I just
– that's cool.
That's part of Christmas spirit that I just absolutely love.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, it makes Santa sound like a pimp, and I'm cool with that.
If you looked like Santa, wouldn't you do that all the time? Like you see a kid and the kid comes up and talks to you and the mom does that? That's what I would do.
Yeah, I would go – yeah, sure, why not? I would go trolling for random single moms. Well,
now you're making it creepy. I don't know. I don't want the mom. That makes it even creepier.
You know what? I can get your kid whatever he wants. You know what I'm saying? If you got a few minutes.
See.
Does mama want to come sit on Santa's lap?
I just want to go on record saying that I have nothing to do with this.
Sorry.
This was not my thing.
I may have had a little too much nog. Okay. So story time. Let's get creative and build for us your perfect Christmas movie. Once again, perfect story, everything else. It's your perfect Christmas movie. What would it be? Scott, you get to go first.
I get to go first, even though John already stole my thunder a little bit. I want a Christmas movie that is based on The Gift of the Magi, which
I don't know what that is. So,
oh, you're not familiar with the story at all?
Nope.
Gift of the Magi is actually a very old, old story about a woman that is, I know you're not going to like this, but is scrambling to come up with a gift for her husband that's the perfect gift. But it's not like shopping for a perfect gift. She's trying to come up with something that's going to do. And as you read the story, she has hair that's like down to her knees. She has very, very long hair.
Okay.
And they're very poor. They don't have any money. She has no way to get anything, but she knows that she wants to get this, like a chain for her husband's pocket watch. And the only way that she can afford it is she cuts her hair and sells it. So she does this. She goes home. She makes dinner. The husband comes home and sees her with her hair chopped off and just like has this look of desperation on his face.
Mm-hmm.
You come to find out that he had sold his watch in order to buy a set of like hair combs or something for her long hair.
Oh, okay.
So it was this whole like he gave up his watch to buy this stuff for her hair. She gave up her hair to buy the stuff for her watch. And it was like this whole story of, well, it's the thought that counts.
Yeah,
basically.
I get that.
So that's like the whole premise of the movie. But like you didn't even know that was the name of the story.
No, I had no idea.
And I feel like that's a Christmassy story that nobody really remembers anymore. Mm-hmm. I want a modern take on that, but not just with two characters. I want it kind of like a domino effect where one person buys one thing for a second person. The second person gives up the thing that the person gave, the gift that the person gave towards the other person. You know what I'm saying? And
then that person
keeps going.
Like pays it forward kind of thing?
Well, but they don't know it. And it's like a entourage, not an entourage. What's the movie?
Oh, I hope not, because that means everybody's having sex.
What's the movie what's the kind of ensemble? That's what I'm looking for. Okay. An ensemble movie where you've got all these different characters, like a Love Actually or something.
Although Aquaman could show up in an entourage version. That would be cool.
So you've got all these characters that are trying to buy a gift for somebody. And at the end, you find out that they've all kind of had this domino effect of buying something that is useless to the next person.
Oh, that's cool.
And then they all kind of, and then there's some connection at the end that brings them all together and they have this realization that, you know, it's really the thought that counts and we put this effort into it and let's just enjoy each other's company and celebrate the Christmas spirit. So I just feel like that's an old story that hasn't been done well in a long time. Mm-hmm. And it could be done with a fresh spin and making an ensemble cast and making it down the line instead of just two people. So that's my idea.
Well done. Well done, Scott. John, can you come close?
Like pay it forward, but different.
Right. Well, I mean, pay it forward was kind of the same thing because they did wind up paying it forward way down the line.
Didn't I say that? I said that like 5 minutes ago. You guys don't
listen. Did you really?
Yes.
Who are you again?
I hate you.
Santa Claus.
What's your movie?
Papo Gijo.
All right. So my movie is a nice little animated feature because I want to do something special for the kids. So this married couple, they have this dog, and this dog's a little bit of a – she's kind of old and a little bit bitter. Earlier in the year, she lost her best friend, her older sister, and so she's had to learn how to manage her people by herself, and it really just makes her a little nuts. Well, it's time for this Christmas trip that the three of them are going to go on, and so first she's stuck in her box where she has her pictures up, and she's got everything going on, and she's keeping herself busy, but then they get to this house, and this house has this cat. And her and the cat don't get along, and there's a whole lot of things. And then so the cat gets angry and curses the little dog. And then she says, "You're going to go to two more houses, and those two more houses are going to have more dogs that you're going to, and they're going to be as much of a pest to you as you've been to me."
Okay.
Okay. So she goes to the next house. And there's these two corgis, and the two corgis are trying to play with her and trying to do things. But she's reading it because she's just so angry and so moody and everything. She's reading it as they're just getting in her way, and they're just bothering her, and they're just doing all this. And when it's time for her to leave, she finally realizes that they're trying to play with her, but it's already too late. So then she goes to the next house, but she sort of knows this house. It's up in the mountains. It's a big house, but there's like 30 dogs at this house, and she's losing her mind because there are way too many dogs for her to handle, and she doesn't know what's going on. She just wants to be left alone, and there's all these puppies and all these other things, and she's like, "I just want to be a good heckin' dog, okay? Let me just be a good dog." But then like the people get together and they start opening things and start giving these dogs all sorts of stuff. So she decides, you know what? All of this belongs to me. And she steals it all and hides it in her room. So she's got it all. And then her people show up. And then the big goofy person that she's always, you know, having problems with, pushes her out of the way. And she's like, "Hey, man, this is my stuff. I'm a good heckin' dog." And the person looks at her and says, "You're not a good heckin' dog. You're a bad heckin' dog," because this is how dogs talk to each other.
What is heckin'?
I was just wondering what that was too.
What? That's how dogs talk. I'm a good heckin' dog.
But is that like a effin'? Is that what it's supposed to be?
Yeah, but dogs don't cuss. They don't ever cuss.
Oh, okay. So it's just a John word. I got it. So
they're perpetually in the good place.
They're perpetually in the good place.
Scott might be watching way too much Good Place.
Yeah.
He really might be. So she loses all the toys that she stole from everybody, and then she's watching all these dogs play and have a good time. And after a little while, it really gets to her, and she's looking at the picture of her older sister that she lost, and then she looks at these other dogs, and one of the puppies comes back over with a toy and puts it in front of her and starts trying to get her to play. And then she realizes that she was mean to these other dogs, but they're all just trying to be good heckin' dogs with her.
Oh, got it. I think this would work better if I didn't have the heckin' in there.
Maybe. They're dogs.
I have to keep reminding myself that it's animated.
Yeah.
Is there more to it, or is that the end?
That's the end. She plays and has a good time. This is an outline. It's a rough. It can go further, but it's rough.
I like it.
Did you say it's rough?
Yes, I did. Son of a bitch.
Bow, wow, wow. Yippee-o, yippee-a.
And the funny thing is, he didn't even do that on purpose.
No, he didn't.
Nope.
That was rough. Okay. All right. Well, mine is like a twist on a classic Christmas scenario. So as like I always do, I always wrote it out like a kind of a short story. I want to start with this 13-year-old girl named Candace.
As you usually do.
Yeah. Wow. That just went awkward. Candace
here's Santa Claus, everybody. Okay.
She's a nice enough girl most of the time to her family. But she, as she's gotten older, she's grown a little bit more and more entitled. She occasionally falls under the spell of her wealthy school friends, and this year she really wants a new iPhone, just like her rich friends have. Thing is, her mom lost her job last fall. Dad works 14-hour days at the factory, barely making ends meet. Unlike many Christmases before, when mom and dad ask Candace what she wants, they have to immediately shoot her down. we can't afford a phone. We just can't do it. But Candace is a teenager now, and all of a sudden, her friends have cell phones, and she loses it and scolds her family, insults her mom and her dad, and calls them pathetic for not having what their daughter wants, while praising the life her richer friends have. So basically, she humiliates mom and dad, just humiliates them. She's mean, she's insulting, she's everything you see in a spoiled little brat. So immediately, she goes to bed, sobbing like brats do until she finally falls asleep. And when she wakes up, she realizes that she is no longer in her home, but in her rich friend Brandy's home. In Brandy's bed, she has awoken as Brandy.
Huh? A little Prince and the Pauper action.
All right, a little cheery. Throughout the day, Candace comes to learn that Brandy's life is not all that great. Her family is always working to pay for their lavish lifestyle. Neither of her parents ever talk to each other, or to Brandy herself, for that matter. They just continue to buy her things to keep her content, but all she wants is love. She's a very, very lonely girl. Candace lives this day desperately wanting to go home. She goes to bed, and this time, she wakes up with her other rich friend, Cynthia. Cynthia is the mean girl in school. She's the one that everybody loathes and look at her like she's just a wench, but she's rich and popular, and everybody still looks up to her weirdly. Somehow, she's adored by people like Candace. So as Candace lives Cynthia's life, she comes to know that Cynthia's father died tragically years ago, leaving their fortune, and her mother physically abuses her daily. She actually has a very sad and horrible life. When she goes to school to be the mean girl, that's because that's the one place where she has control of her own life. After living this day as Cynthia, Candace prays once again to return home. And when she awakens, she's finally back in her bed, and it's Christmas Eve. So she bounces down the stairs to find her parents and presents waiting for her, as they like to celebrate a day early. She's learned how special her life is because of this whole adventure and how much her family means to her. And when she opens her present, she finds the iPhone that she so desperately wanted. Like, she got it. They went out and they got it for her. Candace demands that they head to the store, which her parents do, thinking they had gotten the wrong one because that's what girls do. Teenage girls do. And just wanted to have a wonderful Christmas. So we're going to do whatever it can to make Candace happy. When they arrive at the store, Candace immediately returns the phone and tells them she no longer wants one. She has more than enough in her life. When they return home, and they're all stunned, they're having a great time, they're having a great family time. Everybody's smiling, very festive. They find Cynthia and Brandy both on their doorstep. It turns out they each had also spent time as each other for the last 2 days, and they want to spend some holiday time with the only family they know that truly loves each other.
I like it. I got one question. What Verizon store is open on Christmas Day?
Christmas Eve. That's why I specifically said Christmas Eve. I covered this base, Scott, because I originally had Christmas Day.
Did you?
And I said, no Verizon store would be open Christmas Day.
No, I like the twist at the end where you find out that the girls had also done that. That was clever. Because it started out as like a Christmas story, or I'm sorry, Christmas Carol.
Yeah, basically. Kind of
a little bit like a modern take on that. I like it. I like the twist at the end where you involve the three characters instead of just the one. I like it.
Now they all have a great day, but she still doesn't have an iPhone. She's screwed.
And they just become friends from that point on?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course. And they understand each other and they become lifelong friends. Mean Girl starts to be mean, you know, all that stuff. All the usual Christmas stuff.
Dude, I mean this like sincerely. That's like a legit idea. Like that should thank be something. You.
That's like two in a row. That's like that's weird.
You know what? I'm gonna have to start a podcast for telling stories. Wait, I hear something. Did you hear that?
I did faintly.
Oh, I think we might have more letters from Santa.
We got one from Ty Nelson. Ty Nelson says, "Dear Santa, I've been a good hoe this year. Listened to every episode, laughed a lot, rolled my eyes a lot. I've made friends in the hoe community. Trying to keep an open mind and broaden the types of films I watch." Having said that, I want two things. The first, for 2018 to be controversy-free in Hollywood, so we can just focus on the films and TV shows coming out. The second, for another great year of film, fun, and gab from the Ho family of podcasts and online community. Thanks, Hannah. P.S. If you could speed up production on Game of Thrones so it airs in 2018 instead of 2019, that'd be awesome.
Well, as far as Game of Thrones goes, look, I watch that stuff too. And I, as much as, you know, they film it not down too far down the road for me. So I got Benioff and Weiss on speed dial, and them sons of bitches ain't doing anything for old Santa. So we ain't making that happen. What else we got here? Controversy free in Hollywood. Forget about it. This is just the iceberg. The Titanic still hadn't even got close yet. This iceberg's not even on the radar yet. So get ready. and it's coming.
Hang on, Santa.
Yeah. I think we're getting some bad reception from the North Pole.
We got to reconnect you, Santa. The North Pole is a little little shady there.
Well, it must be the Aurora Borealis stuff up here. Causing
wait, Scott, where are we at? Was your letter?
What's he got talking about? Lots of good conversations with those in, from the whole community.
I can't wish I can grant.
Yeah. Yes.
Could part of that wish be good internet?
I think we just got staticky internet. Maybe a storm on my front. We got a storm here, so it could be on our end too.
All right.
Okay.
Cool. Whatever. I'll go along with it because we want to keep Brian in a good mood. I'll play your silly reindeer game, Santa.
Oh, I love it when we lose John.
Yeah, when we lose John, though, it ain't because of internet connection. All right, Ty, but what I can do for you here is I can guarantee you another great year of fun filming from the Hope family and, of course, some fun interactive stuff on the interwebs here. So thanks for writing in.
Now let's see. Where are we going? We're going to John. John.
Tara QT writes, "Dear Santa, I've been really good this year, so I need an early Christmas present. Please let The Last Jedi be amazing. I can't deal with another average Star Wars flick. I'm thinking Empire Strikes Back amazing. I promise that if you do this, I won't hate Disney, and I'll forgive them for leaving Netflix and making their own streaming. That is all."
All right, Tara. Be prepared to be disappointed. So, what I'm going to do here is I'm going to give you the gift of low expectations. You've been inundated with Star Wars everything. They're on Nissan car commercials at this point, and toothpaste and all kinds of other stuff. I think Crystal Burgers, which is like y'all's White Castle up north, wherever, mm-hmm. if you're a Yankee.
Crystal with a K.
Crystal with a K, right. They're even advertising them, I think. So it's the media has been blasting us so much with it, it's bound to be a letdown. However, to counteract that, avoid it. Wait, and just keep waiting till it comes out on Blu-ray and then watch it then. Then you can be surprised.
Wow. That's a long way.
It is. But how committed is Tara to wanting to be amazed by this movie?
Good call. All right. He's putting the gifts back in your basket.
I'm giving you the gift of choice.
That's deep. That's so deep. All right.
Which is not exactly what John had whenever he was in that little stretch in prison. He didn't have a whole lot of choice for some of the things he did.
Yeah, no, that was in straight survival mode.
Hey, I understand. I'm not judging. Just pointing out facts. That's all.
Well, I mean, you were right next to me the whole time. Or was that behind me? I never know the difference.
A little bit of both, depending on the workout session.
I was calling somebody Santa Claus the whole time.
Okay, now can we hear John tell us something?
All right, so I made up a game for us. Are you guys ready for this? I mean, I did it. Are you guys ready?
Mm-hmm. Yippee-ki-yay. Are
you a little afraid?
No, we're good.
All right, so the game I made up is called Hollywood Carol Mash. So it's kind of like Santa's Kentucky Mash, but actually not at all. It's
jeez.
You know, you're not going to get drunk off it or anything. So how this is going to work is I'm going to give you guys an example of a Christmas carol and a movie title or a movie that have been smashed together into a single thing. And you have to come up with what that movie is or what that Christmas carol is. So in this, I'll give you guys an example. So my example is "A Weary World Rejoices as the Dead Rise Again." And the answer would be "O Holy Night of the Living Dead."
Got it.
Got it. Okay.
Got it. Scott and okay. I against each other.
Are we guessing or are we letting the listeners guess?
No, we're guessing.
We're guessing.
You okay. guys are guessing. And then I have two for the listeners to figure out.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
So, your first one. You guys ready?
I'm ready.
Is there a buzzer? Can I just smack Scott in his forehead?
You could just smack Scott in the forehead.
Because I've been drinking, so it's very possible. I could hit him from here.
It's weird, like, recording in person again, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm so tired, though. I don't think I could get there in time. You might have time to get out of here. Go ahead.
All right. The hobbits walked around and looked over the Feast of Stephen.
Good Return of the King. Good King.
Oh, you're so close.
Good King.
Goodwill Return of the King.
Goodwill.
No.
Goodwill Hunting.
It's good.
It's King, applesauce, bitch.
It's Good King Wenceslas is the song, and it's
Lord of the Rings.
Return of the King.
Lord of the Wenceslas. There you go.
Put them together.
Lord of the Wenceslas.
Return of King Wenceslas.
There you go. Return of the Good King
Wenceslas. Good job, Scott.
There you go.
All right, let's move this along because I don't know what the hell I'm doing. All right.
Nicolas Cage meets a woman and falls in love. Then she dies. Her name is Gloria.
City of...
No, don't give this one away. This is for the listeners.
No, this is for you.
Us. We're at 2 out of 3. We have to win 2 out of 3. City of
Angels.
We ukuleles.
Oh, shit. Scott just got it again.
Did he? Well, then I guess he won. So there you go.
Yeah, he really did. Yeah. All right. So I'll give you guys one more.
So it's not City of Ukuleles.
Where did you get ukuleles out of that?
I don't know.
City of Angels, we have heard of that.
I don't understand this game.
Scott's got it down pat.
All right. Well, he already won, so you could go ahead and do the listener one.
All right. So I'll give this one to listeners. Brad Pitt leaves his family and is dropped halfway around the world to fight when he declares it's a whipped cream day.
If you think you know that, email us feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. It's feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. What's your second one? You can give him two.
The stars in the sky look down at Tom Cruise and his bad Irish accent.
Okay. Well, Scott, congratulations to you. And by the way, feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. But Scott, congratulations to you. That's good that you won that game that I don't understand. But
to be fair, I listen to some podcasts that do similar games, so I'm kind of savvy.
Are they NPR podcasts?
Yeah. No, not NPR, but similarly, yes.
They're your NPR. They're all NPR.
You're right. That is an NPR podcast.
Bam. Yeah. Called it.
Yeah.
Well, my inspiration was At Midnight, so.
Oh, with Chris Hardwick?
Yep.
Oh, I like Chris Hardwick. He's a wonderful man. Speaking of Christmas, he's always giving back to fans.
Absolutely.
All right. Now, Scott, you know, for years we've talked about this, and you have never, ever seen It's a Wonderful Life. For people that don't know, Scott Clark has never seen It's a Wonderful Life.
That you can no longer say that statement anymore.
I can no longer say that statement because he just watched it today, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
So I am dying to know somebody that doesn't really dig black and white movies, doesn't really like classic movies, sees classic as something they would probably rather avoid.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of Jimmy Stewart's classic?
It's a Wonderful Life started out, it hooked me immediately. I love the whole deal where the stars were talking to each other because these angels, they had the stars flashing and they were talking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they started with Bailey's backstory as a kid, how he saved his brother's life. Mm-hmm. And right off the bat, I was digging this. I really was enjoying it. I was intrigued. I had a couple students in my room that were hanging out in my classroom waiting for their parents to pick them up.
Mm-hmm.
And even they were like, oh, this is kind of interesting.
That's cool.
It was kind of fun. So I will say this movie still falls in the old movie category in terms of they take a long time to tell this story. Like the first hour and a half of this movie feels like the first 15 minutes of a modern day movie.
I agree, it is a little long.
It is long. But I really like this movie, man. When you finally get to the meat and potatoes of the story, when the angel visits him and tells him that they're going to show him what his life is like without him,
mm-hmm.
I got this Back to the Future 2 vibe. if you know what I'm talking about, like when he goes and he sees like how Biff has taken over, it's like this jackass has taken over the town. It's now named after this other guy. That was the vibe I got. And initially, my take with this movie was, man, I don't understand why Aaron likes this movie, because this movie is all about George Bailey and him having to realize what an awesome person he is and how it's all about him and the world is like that. But then by the end of the movie, I realized that's not what it was about.
Mm-hmm.
What it was really about was making you look inward on yourself and realizing what kind of an impact have I had on other people around me? If I were gone, would their lives be affected if I weren't here? And to me, that ending, I say this a lot with movies as I get older. I welled up at the end, man, when he opened up the book from Clarence. Yeah. And it had the little deal in there that said those that are surrounded by their friends or whatever. That got me, man. Like, holy cow. And if it got me now in 2017, I can't imagine in 1946 what that was, how powerful that must have been. I really dug this movie. Is it Donna Reed that played?
She's adorable.
She absolutely was really great. Adorable. I actually really enjoyed the girl that played Vi. He was the one that came to visit her that everybody thought he was having an affair with for some reason. I thought she was adorable. The kids were great, especially the kid that played young George Bailey was totally believable. I really enjoyed this movie. I'm actually a little bummed that I didn't buy it because I actually watched your purchase copy, and this is a solid movie. It is interesting that the movie doesn't have a Christmas theme in it until like the last like 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. I don't think Christmas is ever mentioned.
No, it's not. Says, it's really in spirit. It's a Christmas spirit is what it really
Which was. Is right up my alley, which is what I want in a movie. It doesn't even feel like a Christmas movie at all until he says Merry Christmas to a cop at the end, mm-hmm. and then is running down the street and then they're singing Christmas carols at the end. And when they bring in those
Merry Christmas, you old shavings alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When they bring in that money, because like he's done so many nice things to them, and they finally like just repaid him and knew he was in a bind and did that. It was just a touching, great movie. And I also there's so many scenes in this movie that I've seen in other movies like Christmas Vacation.
Yep.
And is this the first time that they've ever said that a woman has ever said the line, "Oh, this old thing"?
It might be.
That is like in every movie I've ever seen and it's told as a joke. But this was like she meant it for real. So, yeah. It's a Wonderful Life is a wonderful movie, and it's one I really feel like I might watch again.
Wow, like, man. That's cool. Because you don't really watch black and white movies.
I give them a shot every once in a while. There's some that I do really appreciate, you know, like the old Sidney Poitier movies and stuff. But
In the Heat of the Night's a great one. If you ever saw
that. Well, that was a TV show as well, was it?
Yeah, it was, but there was a movie that Sidney Poitier was in.
No, it's not like Lily of the Fields or
that's good.
Or Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. I really liked those, mm-hmm. but for the most time, they're too slow and methodical. And I was engaged for this whole movie. There are a couple scenes where you're like, man, you could have cut this whole scene and it would have not mattered whatsoever. But
my favorite scene in the movie that's not like – emotional is the basketball court or whatever that separates and becomes a pool,
and everyone just jumps in.
I'm like, I want that. I've wanted that my whole life. I just want a house that has that.
Especially because like you're used to seeing that at like college frat parties where like all of a sudden everyone just jumps in the pool.
Innocent and fun.
These are grown adults that are like making a bad situation and just making it fun. That was awesome.
I'm glad you finally watched it, man.
That's me too. I really am, because what's funny is I was talking to my wife about it, and I had to talk her into letting me buy it, mm-hmm. which I didn't. Thankfully, you hooked me up.
Because I knew I'd watch it again.
Right. So. But my wife was like, and I don't remember this. She told me that she tried to get me to watch it last year, and I didn't finish it. I gave up on it, and I don't know why. I really enjoyed it. I really dug it. So if you haven't, if you're a Scrooge like me that has like avoided this movie for the past 37 years of your life, like I did, give it a shot. It got to me.
I cry every time at the end. Every time, without fail. Now, if $10 was the full price of admission, what would you give It's a Wonderful Life?
Man, that's
a timeless classic.
It's so hard to give a movie like that a score because it's not perfect in terms of keeping my attention span. It's not one that I'm going to watch every minute of every year. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? It's a movie that I feel like I could watch the last half hour and just be fine because I don't need all the character development every time. Mm-hmm. So at $10 for the price of admission, I'd still give it like $7.50, $8 maybe.
That's still good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's a great movie.
That's an acceptable score.
Mm-hmm.
That works. All right. Well, we've got a couple other things before we sing our way out of here. But Christmas, and we're leading up to Scott's famous poem. Every year he does a poem of some sort or a song at one point. And hopefully you guys will enjoy it. I'm dying to see what he does this year. But Christmas is kind of a time of family and friends here and gone. So tell us a Christmas memory of someone who is no longer with us. This is the share time.
No, we get to share feelings and everything. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's Christmas. It's about caring. Sharing is caring.
Right. I can do this. I like Christmas, remember?
Yeah. Convince us, man. Get us there. We're halfway there right now.
So when I was about 12 or 13, we probably had our first Christmas in the Fort Lauderdale house. I'm originally from the Republic of Panama. We moved to the States in 87. We lived in a condo for a year and a half or so. So this is our first Christmas in our house in Fort Lauderdale, which I had several lakes within walking distance. So For Christmas, I asked for a fishing pole and some lures so I can go out and I can fish, because that's a very Fort Lauderdale thing to do. This one year, I have the fishing pole and lures waiting for me, and my grandfather, who's no longer with us, got me this awesome gift. And this old guy was awesome. He's probably the reason why I'm an artist, and probably the reason why I draw, because when I used to visit him at his house, he had this drafting table and I'd spend so much time at it. He taught me how to build stuff. He taught me everything I knew about, which is not a lot, but he taught me everything I knew about how to put together wood and nails. It's kind of neat. And actually, still to this day, I don't know a lot about what he did, because he had a drafting table, but I heard stories about how he would go into the jungle and come out with gold and silver. I don't know. I'm pretty sure he was just like Indiana Jones. It's where he stands. But he got me the fishing pole and the lure. So he then asked me to take him out to one of the lakes close to the house. So I did. And I spent the day just casting out and bringing it in. And finally I caught this largemouth bass on Christmas Day. And I was like, this is awesome. So he took the fish from me and I thought he was going to throw it back in the water, like, you know, cause that's how we do it. But he decided to just walk it back to the house. So he's got this fish and he's hanging on to his bottom lip and he's just walking back to the house. And he decided to make a teaching moment out of it. And he taught me how to clean a fish and gut it and do all this other stuff. And it was probably the most outdoorsy I've ever felt and have felt since. And that's, but I do love that memory.
That's really cool, man.
That is a good one.
That's very sweet. Scotty?
For me, mine has to do with the first time I ever saw the film Home Alone.
Okay.
I was a late teenager. It had been out for quite a long time. It was on television. And I remember watching this with a mutual friend of ours, Brigitte Erickson.
Oh, yeah.
Who, Kurt and Brigitte were close friends of my family and co-workers of Aaron and I back in the day. Unfortunately, both of them are no longer with us. But I will never forget the first time watching that movie on Thanksgiving Day. After we had eaten and enjoyed the food and everything, and I had heard about the movie and never saw it, and Brigitte sat down with like a piece of pumpkin pie or something and said, we're going to watch Home Alone together. And you got to understand that these were people that were so close to my family that I grew up calling them Aunt Brigitte and Uncle Kurt. They were like family. I lived with them when I moved to Texas for a while. And to this day, that is the spawn of my we don't celebrate Christmas until after Thanksgiving is done. Because, you know, Home Alone is like a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
And that was where I'm like, that's it. You know, no Christmas before Thanksgiving dinner has transpired. I've now moved it to actually the next day after Thanksgiving, you know, because of Black Friday and stuff like that. But I've got that memory with me. First time I got to watch what is now a holiday classic for me. I didn't watch until I was a late teenager, and it's now become a staple of my holiday tradition. And that became from two people that were taken away from me way, way too early.
Yeah, so, they both were.
They both were really young, and I miss them both quite a bit. So this one's to you guys.
My friend Jeff he was not even 30, I don't think, when he died. He was in the U.S. Navy, so he was a sailor, fellow sailor. But I'd known him since I was a kid. Sweet, goofy, just a goofy guy. And I would pick on him all the time, because that's what I do. To people I love, I pick on you. If I don't pick on you, I probably don't like you very much. It's honestly the truth. Ask Scott. He'll tell you.
You must love me to death.
I love Scott. And he was constantly telling me our friend Dennis was his best friend. Like, he was constantly fighting me about he's my best friend. And it was funny to me, because I'm like, okay.
It's like How We Met Your Mother.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know that reference, but sure. That sounds
John
right.
Does.
Okay.
Yep.
And I would always just make fun of his, he had a really goofy laugh. It was just like a cackle.
Like Tommy Wiseau from The Room.
Kinda. Yeah. Tell me a story. So one time around Christmas, we went sledding and we were teenagers. I think we were teenagers, 12 or 13, something like that. So we obviously should have been somewhere drinking, but we were sledding.
At 12 or 13.
Yeah. And yeah, we grew up on the wrong side of town. So yeah, that's what we did. So when it was his turn to go down the hill, Jeff was always kind of pansy about getting hurt. So he just sat on the sled looking down at the hill and as if that's going to do anything. I mean, he's just looking at the hill like that's the danger, right? Oh, what am I going to do? So finally, I just kicked his sled and he went flying down the hill and he crashed at the bottom. It sounds cruel, but that's what boys do. It's just really what boys do.
Okay, I like this doesn't have a tragic ending, does
no,
it?
No. But he's sitting there. He's sitting there for like 5 or 10 minutes. Like he took forever, and I was just getting sick of waiting for him to go. I'm like, man up. You know, you do that whole thing when you're boys. Like, man up, and he wouldn't do it. So I just kicked the sled, and he went down the hill. I thought it was pretty hilarious. He did not find it funny at all. And Jeff was one of the like he's very ornery. He was an ornery even as a kid. He was ornery.
Ornery.
Whatever. Whatever. So about 30 minutes later, I'm sitting on the hill talking to Jeff's best friend, Dennis, obviously. And he runs up behind me and he puts a toboggan like at my back. And I'm not even thinking about it. You know, like those plastic circles?
Yeah.
And he puts it against
my
back.
A saucer?
Yeah, like a saucer. Thank you. Whatever it is. And he puts it against my back and he pulls me back onto it. And I'm just like, what is he doing? And he kicks it down the hill. So I crashed very painfully. But that is a wonderful Christmas moment memory of mine, just because I thought it was so funny. Because I'm not one of those people, like, when I give it to somebody and they give it back, I don't get mad about it. I think it's funny. I'm like, good for you, man. Good, you gave it back to me at tenfold, and that's great. And that was one of those where I knew I pissed him off. I didn't realize I pissed him off that much. And at the bottom of the hill, I'm just, like, looking at him, giving him a thumbs up, and he's looking at me like, ha-ha, that's what you get. I'm like, no, man, I admire it, so... You know,
I'm so glad that started and the way I thought it was going to.
No.
I really thought you like kicked him to his demise.
No. He's fine. But it was a fun memory. It was a good time.
Oh, okay. So he's no longer in the area.
No, he's no longer with us.
Oh, okay.
He passed away, but in the Navy. Not for me kicking him down a hill.
Okay.
He was fine after that. I promise. It was in the Navy that he passed away. Great guy. Really, really sweet guy. Grew into a great man too. So what new movie or TV-related tradition do you kind of wish you could talk your family into doing for Christmas? Like something maybe new that you haven't done?
Well, I've done this before with some of my family, but I really wish that my family would just all hop in the car and go to the theater on Christmas together. Because I feel like every Christmas...
It's the biggest day in the theater.
I know, but I went, and I didn't know that until we started doing this show. Mm-hmm. I was always like, who goes to the theater on Christmas? That place has got to be empty.
But Gary apparently, Oldman. Everyone!
And that's what I want to happen because I cannot tell you one time that my wife's family, we've all just gone to a movie together. I've gone with my wife and her sister. I've gone with my wife and my brother-in-law and her grandma. But I've never like the whole family just gone together and seen something. And I feel like Christmas is the time where you can make that happen because there's always going to be that one movie that everybody's going to relate to or enjoy it to some degree. Mm-hmm. Like the Hugh Jackman movie this year, I feel is the one.
The Greatest Showman.
Showman, I feel is the one that this year is going to be the one that everybody could go and get something out of.
Yeah, you know I agree with that.
And I want that to be a thing because every Christmas we get together, we eat some turkey, you know, we exchange some gifts, and then we sit around and play some board games or just sit around talking, and it's just like it just.
I would rather not have to talk to these people and enjoy cinematic bliss in silence.
No, but it'd be. I want something. I want that just to be spiced up a little bit and be like exciting, and I would love it for it to be a tradition. But we just like at the end of the day, we just all go to a movie together. Or go to the early one and do Christmas at night. Like, I think that would be cool. But
that would be fun.
But nobody, because it'll be a little less busy, I would think, like maybe at a matinee or a...
Yeah, it's really not that bad. I go every Christmas because I've always had my kids on Christmas Eve.
But your family is also big cinephiles and...
Well, they were until they went away for the winter.
Hey, I wasn't going to bring it down, but...
I hope they're still listening, Mom and Dad. I hope you're enjoying your desert.
I think that would be cool because... I have so many friends even like bring in friends on with it, not just family, bring some friends because I have so many friends that when I mention going to a movie, they just never want to do it. They're like, why would I want to go to the theater and see a movie? And I'm like, why wouldn't you want to go to the theater? Yeah,
why do you hate life? And go enjoy it a little
bit. If that's like the one day of the year that I could get them to just everyone just come together and that would be cool. So that's what I would like to be a tradition.
Along the same lines, I would like everybody to chip in my family and kind of go rent a theater. Like just a screen.
That's a huge.
I'm sure it would be, but like all my family and friends and however many people it took and just rent a theater and play like 3 Christmas movies back to back. That would be fantastic to me.
That'd be expensive.
I didn't say it wouldn't be pricey, but it sounds cool. Like if I was ever rich, that's what I would do. I would build a theater in my house and that's what we would do. We would have all the food around that big giant
theater. For Christmas.
Yeah, probably.
You have like
I mean, I would do it every day. Who am I fooling? I would watch everything and be like, hey, we're going to watch Walking Dead on the big 55-foot screen. Why not? But I would like to rent.
I know it's a lot of talk in it. But.
Yeah. What's that, John?
Might as well. I mean, if you're gonna have it, you might as well use it whenever you get a chance.
Yeah, I wouldn't even leave the house if I was rich, but yeah. I'm not, so I would rent a theater out and just like one screen. What about you, Jen? What would you do?
Well, it's not very hard to talk my family into doing a lot of TV or movie related stuff around the Christmas, because like that's something we're really good at. That's how we always bond, is over TV and movies. Like, but we're starting a couple of new traditions this year for Christmas, or not this year, but last year I actually thought them into starting a couple of new ones, which is kind of TV or movie adjacent. So we do a new thing. Instead of making a big Christmas dinner, we do what I like to call the fa-ra-ra-ra-ra Christmas dinner.
Oh, you have a duck?
No, we go to a Chinese restaurant.
Oh, that's actually brilliant, man.
Yeah.
I really like that idea.
Yeah, we go to a Chinese restaurant, and I call it Fa Ra 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 Christmas Dinner because of A Christmas Story, and everyone has actually grabbed onto that idea because it's less stressful than trying to cook and everything.
And nobody's while we're going. Nobody's yep. going to the Chinese restaurant on Christmas Day.
I like
Day.
It. I like
especially,
it.
Especially in Bakersville, North Carolina, where there's like nobody else really there. So yeah, it's they're like the only thing that's really open and nobody knows. It's like the best kept secret there.
I'm really mad that I didn't come up with that idea first.
Yeah, it's great. We all pile into the cars and we go there, and then we go back and we'll end up having dessert and watch whatever movies that we've got for Christmas, and whatever some, you know, depending on how many people have missed the most stuff, we'll watch that. And yeah, it's a good time. We all love watching movies together. So it's great.
I want to do that now. Seriously, if my wife liked Chinese food better, I would totally do that.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
All right, well, before we get to Scott's Christmas poem, annual Christmas poem, assuming nobody's listening to this except Santa Claus, which you may be listening because he's been around for a little bit, have you been naughty or nice this year, and what do you want most for Christmas, both selflessly and selfishly?
Well, I'm not very sure I'm qualified to determine whether I've been naughty or nice. I mean, it's kind of unfair for me to say that. Maybe I've been nicey, or maybe I've been not-ice. It's one of those.
Is that French?
Yeah.
I've been no dice.
So my selfless gift would be for my father. He needs like a 25 or a 30 year old Peruvian girl to come and clean his house. And she likes to keep it tight too.
Me too.
She needs to go clean his house a couple times a week. I think that would be the best thing I can come up with for a selfless gift would be for him. Mm-hmm. So, and then my selfish gift, it was really hard for me to come up with something because I've got most everything I want this year, except for I need my own damn dog because I lost my dog and my wife has a dog that used to be my dog and I need my own. So a Swedish Valhund, and my wife gets to name her. So that's it.
Nice. I need a dog because my wife stole my dog. That sounds cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what that boils down to.
Well, naughty or nice, I've been kind of like a generous helping of both. So I'm somewhere in the middle. So selfishly, I want a 4K TV. I don't need it. I just want one. You know, I keep
never waiting. Never about need.
No, it's never about one. Now, selflessly, which is really how I rule my Christmas, I think we're all movie and TV fans here, right? Correct?
No, agreed? Not
at all. Sure, maybe. Okay. A little bit.
Well, I want very, very, very much for people to stop prejudging a movie based on gossip. Or
oh, sweet Jesus.
Speculation or behind Preach. The scenes drama.
Come on, yeah, say it all.
I think
or personal bias. How about that?
Yeah, dude? That too. Unless Miles Teller's
right.
It happens way too much. I mean, if you're interested in something, get your ass to a theater. If it's a series on your couch, whatever you're doing, and just give it a go. Rotten Tomatoes doesn't know you like you do, I don't think. And most movies you love have drama behind the scenes. Jaws is Jaws because that shark didn't work. Now, I think if that movie came out today, people would have already said it's going to suck before it ever hit theaters.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly do. I truly believe that. But people don't realize that movie worked because it didn't work. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what happened. So go see what you want to see, and you might be surprised with some of the fun you're going to have. I want everybody to stop buying into internet opinion and get back to getting their own, unless you're listening to our podcast.
Just align with us and you're fine.
Well, just listen, just hear us out. And then you still go decide. I think we've always been very open about that. We don't not see something just because we said don't see it. It's our opinion. If you
get your own opinion about it.
If you really want to see it, just go. Go. Stop listening to the internet.
And we don't beat up on people for watching stuff unless it's Darren Aronofsky and it's Aaron.
And in that point, I'm usually right. So just saying.
Or even Jennifer Lawrence knows she left him because she watched Mother. I'm telling you, that's what happened.
I think that's a pretty big assumption, but
you know what? Yeah. I called her. That's what she told me. Scott, what about you?
I think I've been pretty nice this year. I feel like for the first time in a while, I've been pretty nice. I don't think I did anything awful this year.
Okay. So what do you want? Selfishly and selfless?
Well, same as you. I want a 4K TV with HDR, but if I'm going to be really selfish, this sounds super selfish, but I don't mean for it to come across as selfish as it sounds. There's a big teacher award known as the Golden Apple that I was nominated for, and I would like to win it, not so much for the recognition. I'm not as concerned about the recognition, but I think
a little bit. A little bit.
But if he gets that golden apple, he can sell the golden apple for the TV.
There you go.
Ooh, well played.
No, I'm more of like a build up my resume kind of guy, and that looks good on a resume. Not that I'm worried about my job, but it's more like legacy than it is. I'm not worried about like going and giving speeches or whatever. It'd be really cool to get that the first year that I'm eligible, and just kind of that's like something that teachers go for, you know, their whole lives. And it'd be kind of cool to get that knocked out my first year that I was eligible, just to be like, yeah, I got that early on. And
did you do that humble brag, John? You like that?
I don't have it, man. It would be nice to have that. But,
you got nominated and you're like, yeah, first year and I got nominated. I'm just saying.
No, that's not.
I know it's not.
And also selfishly, I would really like a little bit easier semester in college this spring.
Because you're going your master's degree, right?
I am going for my master's degree, and this past semester just kicked my butt three ways from Sunday. And I don't have a student teacher this spring, so I'm not going to have quite as much free time in the classroom to work on that stuff. And I'm also taking on some extra responsibility at work. So I'd really like just to kind of have an easier second half of this degree, because it is a lot more work. So selflessly, I want everyone to be able to take a break from all of the crap that is going on in this world and just enjoy one another's company this season, whether it be your friends, whether it be your family, whether it be brothers, sisters, whatever. Just take part of that Christmas spirit. Just forget everything that's going on, even if it's just for a day or a half a day or an hour. Just forget politics, forget religion, forget everything, and just be present. And I know this is going to sound hypocritical, but put down the phone.
It sure is hypocritical.
For you know, a board game night or something, and just be there. I don't know how else to say it. Just forget about what's on CNN. Forget what's on Fox News. And let's just be there for our families. That's what I would selflessly like.
Well said, Scott. And I would like to chime in on the teacher thing. I hope you do win, because I have seen Scott teach, and I don't give him any compliments. He's a really great teacher.
Oh, thanks, man.
I like to chime in on the whole phone thing. So a little side story. I recently updated my phone and got a new one. So I was telling my dad what I was doing, and he got annoyed with me. And he goes, "So you're sticking with AT&T, huh?" And I said, "Yeah, Dad, I am." And he was like, "Why are you doing that?" I was like, "Because, Dad, when I go to your house, I don't want my phone to work."
Oh, well played.
Wow.
Yep.
That's very clever.
He actually was like, "Oh, well, thank you."
That's very cool.
So did you give him a Switch?
No.
Because he still lives there the rest of the year.
Yeah. Well, no, he's on Verizon, so his phone always works when he's at home. But I go there, I don't want my phone to work. I want to just be around my dad and in the mountains enjoying that.
Hey, do you know what time it is, John?
Is it time for more letters for Santa Claus?
Nope. It's better than that. It's time
is it
for
better than
Scott's
that?
Christmas poem. For those who have never heard our Christmas poem, there's always one thing that's mandatory when Scott does this, and that is a little roaring fire in the background. You guys ready?
I'm ready.
Oh, there you it
hear
is.
That? Is it too loud? John, is it too loud for you? Or is it just right?
It is just right, and my God, does it feel good.
Yeah, it's nice and toasty. All right, Scott, let her rip. Share with listeners this year's Christmas poem. We'll try to not interrupt.
All right. Well, like I said, I am not singing this year. That was a one-time offer, and I don't think that's ever happening again. But, man, it was a struggle to come up with something this year. And as you know, in years past, I've always kind of done like a parody poem of other Christmas carols or Christmas poems. Mm-hmm. And I could not come up with one that was based on something else. I toyed around with We Three Hoes. instead of We Three Kings, and that failed miserably. So what I wound up doing was just coming up with just my own poem.
You don't have to convince us, man. We're all about it. We're ready.
So we trust you. This one's brand spanking new, not based on anything. This is just me trying to put some rhymes together and make something
Merry
sweet.
Merry Christmas spirit coming right through my veins.
All right, here we go. It's Christmas again right here at the Ho. Our normal listeners surely will know that this is that wonderful time of the year when our regular show involves holiday cheer. We share some drinks and take a look back at the previous year and where we might lack. We thank our guests and loyal fans, and even though we can't hold hands, we raise a glass of our favorite drink, and through the internet, our glasses clink. Each December, I'm given a mission to write a poem that's now become tradition. So here's my fourth and latest try. I really don't expect you'll cry, but nonetheless, enjoy my work. I hope the rhymes will make you smirk. Let's start with Aaron, the big man in charge, whose name-dropping list has grown quite large. See, this isn't the only podcast he's established. Yes, he's got another show based on The Blacklist. It's been quite a year, and his heart sure did swoon when he met Mr. Spader and even Megan Boone.
Oh, yeah.
To top it all off, Troy and Aaron were blessed by an academy of podcasters who said they're the best. So I drink to you, sir, and wish a big congratulations. For the award, yes, but mostly for running this operation.
That's very sweet. Thank you. And I'm drinking.
And me too. That brings me to John, our most recent host. He's the guy who definitely misspells the most.
Guilty.
He loves to push buttons, which drives Aaron mad. So let's hope those notions are now just a fad.
Nope.
Occasionally, your humor makes us raise the white flags. I mean, dude, we want to avoid explicit tags.
Too bad.
While sometimes your jokes are occasionally corny, most times it seems you're perpetually horny.
That's fair.
But the one that surely brought tears to my eyes, your solution involving a big box of flies. The moment, however, I'll always remember, took place when you visited us this past November. We'd spent hours and hours each week talking flicks, but meeting you in person is what gave me my fix. The last thing I'll say as your stanza now ends, I'm honestly proud to call you my friend.
Aw, thanks, man.
As for me, what's to say? My time here has been dicey, and there's those who prefer my side that is spicy. For there's only one food that helps me to gel. Some may hate it, but I love me some hot Taco Bell. It's no secret that I prefer electronics. Don't worry, I'll remind you, I don't read the comics. But the three of us aren't the only voices you've heard. We've had guests who are also real big movie nerds. The listeners who joined us were all quite top-notch. Heather Drain, Casey Spivey, and someone called Scotch. Troy Heinrichs and Sean Fuller also joined in, and their presence quite often made each of us grin. But the girls were the ones who literally stole the show. When they hosted, our downloads and numbers did grow. So thank you to Courtney, Amanda, and Amy. And don't forget Angela, or else she might slay me. Before I'm done, I'd like to be frank. There's hundreds of listeners we'd all like to thank. Without you, this show would be wasted endeavor. Our talks left unheard, no matter how clever. Your voice even earned us a podcast award. And believe when I say that all our hearts soared. So thank you to all, and to all a good night. May your holidays be pleasant, merry, and bright. From all of us hoes, Aaron, R. John, and Scott, may this season be one that won't be forgot. The end.
Nice. Beautifully done.
That was killer. That was killer.
I am literally on fire.
He's on fire.
Oh, that's the best thing about this is I can just kill it.
Just turn it off.
I can just bring it back on. Look at that. This is the best fire in the world. Hello, fire. Hello.
Next, we need a bees button.
Bees button. That's fantastic. Button.
Oh, that was a great job, man. That would be one of your best. One of your best. There you go. Well done.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, I don't know if you heard that, but I'm pretty sure Santa is back. All right, we got one from Brady Joe, Santa. I hope you're ready for this one.
Sure.
She says, my dearest Saint Nick, hey, buddy, I've been a good girl again this year. I promise. Here are some of my Christmas wishes. I'd love a few hours of free time so I can catch up on some of the Marvel movies I've missed, and I need to see Star Wars in the theater this time, please. Speaking of movies, let's just take Miles Teller out of all of them. Is Finn Wolfhard old enough to replace him in everything yet? I bet the guy that plays Steve is also available. I like where her head's at. Also, can I get a podcast of just Aaron and Brian busting each other's chops and telling more hilarious stories about their adventures? That'd be great. Oh, and can you let one of the ladies, Amy, Amanda, or Angela, win at Fantasy Movie League so we know PC Cruz is not a time-traveling spinster? Thanks, buddy. I'll make you some cookies. Don't worry. Love, Brady Joe.
Awesome. I love cookies, so I'm definitely going to have to earn these cookies this time around. But this is going to be one. This isn't going to be a problem because I have some elves in Brady Joe's area that'll be glad to help out with her time problem and make sure that she gets to see Star Wars in the theater. So the as far as the Philip Cruz thing, I'll send some of my, let's just call them dark elves out to take him out. And that'll give the ladies a little bit more of a chance to win the Fantasy Movie League, which honestly they're just about, you know, they're almost quite good enough to beat him. Nobody's doing this. It's not just a women thing. It's all the other guys too can't beat him. So I'll definitely send some dark elves out to take him down. And as far as the A and B road show, it's in the works. So stay tuned.
Ooh, what about Miles Teller? Can you get him out of everything and put Finn Wolfhard?
Oh, God, no. He's like herpes. He just doesn't go away. He just keeps popping up every so. He just has flare-ups every now and then.
All right, Scott?
Our last one comes from Angela Lee Wallach, and she says, Dear Santa, Merry Ho-mas to you and the missus. Send my love to Donner, in my opinion, the most underrated reindeer. Since I'm a Hollywood Outsider listener, I know I've made the good list. If you could do me a few solids, that would be awesome. Number one. Make everyone watch Dirk Gently. Number two, provide me my very own real-life BB-8 and a Niffler. Number three, give me the ability to rewatch shows that I love like it's the first time that I've seen them. Number four, grant every ho a Christmas wish. Number five, put me in charge of deciding which Chris, Evans, Pratt, and Hemsworth, gives the best hugs. Lastly, if you could renew Agent Carter, that would be great. Sincerely, DJ Wallach.
Well, all right there, DJ Wallach. Let's you've given me quite the list here to address, all right? So, number one, you're greedy as shit, all right? So, you know, this is just one of those things to where I'm going to have to spend way too much time on your list. So, let's go ahead and start. Number one, make everyone watch Dirk Gently. I agree, everybody should watch it. It's a fantastic show. I don't know what more credibility I can have by being Santa Claus. I mean, Santa Claus says, watch it. Get off your ass and watch it. Put it on your queue list, your watch list, whatever you want to call it. All right, moving on. Provide me with my very own real-life BB-8 and a Niffler. That's just not going to happen. Sorry. So give you the ability to rewatch shows that I love. It's like it's the first time that I've seen them. No problem. I'll give you Alzheimer's.
Shit. I did not see that coming.
Get ready for that, DJ. So let's go ahead. Grant every hoe a Christmas wish. They just got it. I showed up. Next, put me in charge of deciding which Chris, Evans, Pratt, or Hemsworth gives the best hugs. This is easy. It's Pratt, and it ain't even close. Evans is too big in the chest and big bulky stuff. He can't give you a good quality hug. Hemsworth, he's too tall, and his arms are too long. He just wraps around you, and you miss that vibe that you get from getting a really good hug. Pratt has the energy. He's got that charisma. He's not too big. He's not too small. He's a perfect size, and he will hug you better than any of the other two Chris's. It's science. Lastly, Agent Carter. Yeah, that's not going to happen. So if I can help it, it was boring.
I love how Santa's response is, yeah, it's not happening. That's not happening.
He's a realist. I admire this Santa. He's keeping it real. We need this in America. And Santa has a special. He wanted to address a certain letter. So are you ready, Santa?
He was actually down here towards one of the last entries here. A Mr. Jack Saint. Let's see. He says, "Dear Santa, you know that one year when you didn't get me that one thing? Well, I'm older now, and I bought that one thing. Thanks for the heartbreak of that one Christmas morning. #I'm Santa now, bitch." Well, Mr. Saint, if that is your real name, let me tell you something. I gave you the gift of self-reliance and independence to take care of you and your family. So that is a lifelong gift that just, you can't even put a price tag on it. So I'm sorry you didn't open up that box and see the big pneumatic anal intruder thing that you rushed for that year. So, that's, you know, I'm sorry to disappoint you in that way. However, I gave you something much more valuable. You know, you should be a little bit more appreciative there. Anyway,
okay.
I ain't gonna spend too much time on Mr. Saint.
Let's wrap up with some Christmas cheer. So first up, how do you take them Christmas cookies? Do you take them icing? Do you take them sprinkles? You go crazy in your own little way. How do you take them?
Well, here's the thing. I'm not a huge cookie guy. Even at Christmas time, I'm not the world's biggest cookie guy. And we've talked about that in the past, but mm-hmm. I'm more of a candy freak. But when I do have cookies, here's the trick, guys. Are you ready for this?
Trick to cookies? I eat them.
Yes. Well, any kind of like pastry or whatever, because there's nothing, a cookie is nothing without some milk. Right?
Okay.
Big tall glass of ice cold milk is just like really brings that home. Right. But the temptation with a cookie is to drink it while you're eating that cookie. You know, maybe take a bite and take a swig of milk and swish it around that.
No.
Or you take the cookie and you dip it in the milk and then, you know, do that. Something like that. No, that is not the way to really enjoy your milk with your cookie. Here's what you do. If you're eating cookies multiple at a time, like 3 or 4 or 5 or 6, or however many cookies you eat, you get your big glass of milk. You set it right in front of you, and you do not touch it until your plate is clean.
Okay.
So you're eating your cookies. You're eating your
cookies. How many cookies do you have on this plate?
It depends on how many cookies you are. Like I said,
I'm a big guy, so I want like 4.
That's what I'm saying. 4 or 5 cookies. You do not touch that glass of milk. You taunt yourself with it. It's sitting right in front of you.
It's like a striptease.
Right. And then you eat your cookie. You eat
it's
your
like
cookie.
Naughty
man,
milk.
Man, this I can really
go, John. That's a good joke.
But you could, you're looking at that glass of milk going, man, that would just really go down great right now with that cookie I just ate. No, just keep eating your cookies. And then once all of your cookies are done.
Take your pants off.
No.
Okay.
Once your cookies are done, then you grab your glass of milk and you down that glass of milk. I'm telling you, that will be the most delicious glass of milk you've ever had in your entire life after you've waited and waited and waited to go through that. By the way, Kurt Erickson taught me that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, now I can't even make fun of it because the guy's passed away, so that's not cool.
I'm just going to say that after all of my ideas in the future. By the way, that was Kurt's idea.
It'll shut me up. You're like, okay. John, do you agree with his cookie fetish?
Well, the way he intakes his milk is a little weird. I think the whole fact that, I get part of it, like, but I still have to dunk my cookies. And 4 or 5, come on. Who actually counts cookies? I don't. But
I do.
Yeah. So, but I'm a firm believer that any cookie eaten around Christmas time is a Christmas cookie. So I prefer mine chipped with chocolate or doodled with Snicker.
Okay.
Very good. You didn't really answer that. You had this cool cookie logic. Do you have a favorite kind of cookie?
Favorite? Well, we talked about. This is a rehash, but my favorite are the ones that aren't cookies, but that are bars.
Bars.
Okay. Like, yep. My wife makes these cherry flavored ones with chocolate chips in them and powdered sugar over the top of them. Those are like the best. Or haystacks, which are like chow mein noodles dipped in chocolate peanut butter.
Okay.
Oh, those are the best.
See, I like homemade sugar cookies with store bought icing. I don't like homemade icing. I like store bought icing better than homemade icing.
I don't even know how to make homemade icing.
I do, but if you go to the store, they sell it in a container for like $1.50.
Yeah.
And I don't have to do any work, and it tastes delicious.
What about pre-frosted cookies, like the ones that have the frosting already on them? Do they have to be like
I don't like that.
You got to spread
make
it.
I want to make my own cookies, and I want to spread them.
I don't think spreading icing makes it making your cookie.
No, I'm going to still make the cookies, homemade cookies, just with store-bought icing.
Gotcha.
So
now, are you getting the stuff with the can, or are you going to like the bakery section and getting their buttercream?
No. Just in the can. I really love that. Like, what is it, Betty Crocker or whatever?
Yeah.
Their icing. I love their like cream cheese icing. I love it.
No.
I can't do it. I could eat it out of the thing. I used to eat it out of the can. Yeah. Or out of the container.
No.
Yeah. It used to be a thing.
It's got to be whipped cream frosting for me to really like frosting.
You're incorrect.
Cream cheese frosting is too rich, too thick.
Too amazing is the word you're looking for.
Too gritty. Like, you chew it and you just feel the ice cream.
I don't know why you guys hate America, but you do.
I like going to the bakery and just getting a thing of their a bag of their buttercream that they made that day.
Ooh, and doing what with it? Just like lathering up with it. Hang on, let me get the fire going.
Right. Oh yeah, I don't need a fire to get hot about that one.
Talk slower.
All right. Well, I love that I can just turn that on and off. All right. So now, any new movies or TV specials you're going to add to the holiday rotation this go around? Like maybe weren't there last year, but that are there this year?
Well, last year I added Krampus to my rotation. So this year I'm adding Better Watch Out, which is another kind of not Halloween, but another Christmas horror movie.
Don't do it to me, man. Mm.
And it's a lot of fun, and I think everyone should watch Better Watch Out. Also, Office Christmas Party, just for some silly, crazy zaniness for Christmas. Those are two that I'm adding this year to the rotation.
I don't remember if I said this last year, but I added Hateful Eight this past year.
And that was last Christmas, wasn't it?
I think so, but it's in my rotation now, and I don't remember if I added it last year or this year, but it's there now. And it's fun because I saw the original with my mom and my brother and my dad and everybody at Christmas with my kids. So that's kind of why it's there. And I think I'm going to add A Very Bad Mom's Christmas next year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I really dug it. And more than Daddy's Home. I mean, Daddy's Home too. Yeah, it might come up like every couple years, but it's not like an every year thing. I think Very Bad Mom's Christmas is going to come up every year because it's like the naughty one. It's taken where Bad Santa 2 should have had a spot.
Oh, God. It's taken that spot.
So what about you, Scott? Anything new?
Well, you took it already, but Daddy's Home 2, according to my wife, is being added to our
Christmas rotation. It was good. I mean, it was a lot better than I thought it was going to be.
I'm actually kind of surprised. I expected a lot more just really dumb humor, but it worked. If you think about it, and I think I wrote this in my review, it was very National Lampoon Christmas Vacation. It was. There was a lot of parallels to that movie.
I won't spoil it, but that kiss at the end is one of my favorite things in a movie all year long. I love it.
So obviously I can't add that to my rotation this year in terms of home viewing, but next year that is, according to her, is going to be in there for sure. So I laughed a lot in that viewing. So that's the only real new addition I've got.
Well, as we close it out, as we get to our chorus closeout, tell us one personal story you haven't shared that perfectly sums up the spirit of Christmas for you.
Well, my story is pretty easy because it revolves my wife. It revolves around my wife.
I was going to be like, it revolves your wife? It makes your wife turn around?
I've had some nog, man.
Okay.
No, my wife is obsessed with throwing a incredible Christmas party at my house every year. And you know,
she does a great job.
Yeah. She does a great job. And I just want to kind of give her a shout out for that, because as exhausting as it is to watch her go through all the trials and tribulations to make this a big deal, she doesn't do it with any intention of being like a show off or I want people to see how much work I've put into this. She genuinely has this mentality of, I want people to come and have a good time and build good memories and have something to take with them to remember this Christmas. Mm-hmm. She does. And you remember in years past, she did the coasters. She made homemade coasters for every.
I love them, man. I still use them. I'm using one right now.
Is that one right there?
Yeah. Spider-Man right now.
She made homemade coasters for everybody. That's all she did, like, for the entire month of November and December that year. I think it was 2 years ago. She always has something that she does that is like everyone gets to take home. It's almost like a.
Just to give you an example, it's literally she took a comic, the original Spider-Man comic, and made a coaster out of it, like four separate coasters out of it. It's
like lacquered
cool.
It. Like she literally poured like lacquer over it.
I mean, it's legitimately
it.
Great. Mm-hmm. I love them.
And she does something like that that's unique every year. She comes up with a different way to play a drinking game for our Secret Santa gift exchange thing, which she won't tell me what it is, so it's always new to me. I know what she's doing this year that I can't tell you because you're going to be there, but it's really, really cool what she's done this year. It's awesome. And I don't know. She's not like out to do it to have like the best party or people to look at her and say like, oh, wow, Steph threw this great party. It is all about just wanting people to enjoy themselves and have a good time and build those good
memories.
That's
what Christmas should be.
It really is. And like it drives me crazy because she started planning this like before Thanksgiving. You know what I mean? Like, and she started cleaning the house this weekend, like tearing apart the couches and vacuuming under them. And like, who's going to look under the couches at a Christmas party? But that's what that makes her feel better about it. So I had to move all of my furniture in my basement. because we have cats and they puke on the carpet. So I had to move everything out of my man cave and get the carpets shampooed and all that. And she,
well, I appreciate that.
Yes. But she hangs snowflakes from the ceiling. She
does, man. It's pretty magical. It really is.
It really, like John, you're a fan of How I Met Your Mother. You know, like,
yeah,
the Christmas episode when Marshall refuses to look at the winter wonderland until he gets off work and deserves it or whatever.
Yep.
My basement is that. Like, what that looks like is what my basement looks like. She's got lights strung all along the drop ceiling. She's got snowflakes hanging everywhere. It's just Christmas threw up in my basement. And and I mean that in the best way possible. It's amazing what she does. And so shout out to her because, oh, we've got a pickle train.
Oh, yeah, you do have a pickle train.
We have a pickle train because this is all of my close personal friends. No family except for my brother is there. Again.
And to be fair, if any other close person, there's like a limit. Like, they've already reached their limit. So if you listen to this and you weren't invited, don't take it personal.
Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, like,
some people do take it personal.
Yeah, don't
there's
be
no
offended.
More room allowed, basically.
There's literally no more room in my basement to fit it. We have ping pong tables set up with full play settings and napkins and full silverware. It's like Thanksgiving style, but all of just friends.
And it is packed.
It is nuts to butts in my basement.
Same people for like 15 years.
Probably. It really has been. It's been in
10 years.
You know, we got Divot Stew is there. Mm-hmm. We got, like, that's like a potluck deal, and it's awesome. But we have a pickle train. We've got one of those mechanical trains that holds, you know, saran wrap or whatever and pickles that goes down. It's awesome. It's a great time. So I love it, and I love my wife. So
that's very sweet.
Mm-hmm. That is very sweet.
Good story. Mine, well, it revolves around my Uncle Gene. He lived with my grandparents. He was my grandma's brother. And a sweet old man, very sweet old man. And he was mentally handicapped since he was 5 years old. He had a horrible illness when he was five that stunted his mental growth completely. So he basically got to 5 years old and he stopped growing mentally. And my grandma took care of him every day since then, like the rest of his life. So as a little kid, I'm maybe eight or so, I didn't know what that meant. You know, I just knew I had a wacky uncle who sat in the same chair every day, all day, and never did anything unless you touched him or poked him or moved something out of place, because he would jump up to move it back. He was like that. So I remember one year I really wanted, I think, an Atari 2600 or 5200 or something like that, whatever it was, some game thing. And we were always poor, so I was probably very whiny about it because I didn't get anything. You know, I'm like, oh, look, I got lint again. You know?
Did you have a dream about, like, being in a rich kid's house and then?
Yeah, I did. I did. Then I changed bodies and I realized it all worked out. But I never got really any of the nice presents other kids did. So I was kind of bummed that I didn't get that. Nothing fancy or flashy. I just didn't get it. So whatever I got, because I know I didn't get what I wanted, whatever I got, I acted excited, but I was honestly just super disappointed. It wasn't whatever this game thing was. You know, I knew my mom worked her ass off, so I never made her feel bad about it, but I wasn't happy because, you know, I'm a kid. You know, kids, you want fancy things, and I didn't get my fancy thing. And then I look over at my Uncle Gene. My grandma gave him a knit hat, like a winter knit hat, you know, just like
she made it?
No, she bought it, I think. I don't remember. She might have made it. She sewed a lot. But it's just basically to keep his bald head warm. It was just this knit hat. That's literally all it was. Maybe if you bought it now, it'd be, what, $6? Something, that was it. And he was the bounciest, happiest person I have ever seen. Just ecstatic that he had this knit hat. That I'm over here like bitching that I didn't get whatever fancy thing I wanted that I knew my mom couldn't afford to begin with. And he's over here like he just won the lottery. Like, this is the best present ever. I mean, it was just a happy, like little kids are. And in his mind, he was always just a little kid. And I always remember seeing that and remembering that's exactly everything about Christmas and presents and everything else is exactly what you make of it. And, you know, it really is a thought that counts. And to him, that was the greatest thing ever. And it's because it wasn't about the present. It was that my grandma gave him something.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that taught me a lot about gratitude and humility, too. So it's very much my Christmas story. All right, Johnny, what about you? Tell us a story that reminds you of Christmas.
So a story that reminds me of Christmas. So like long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, I was dating this girl. And around Christmas time. Going. What's that?
I don't know where this is going.
Okay. So her mother had fallen.
She couldn't get up. Sorry, we're cutting you off. That's rude.
No, she really couldn't get up. She broke her hip.
Oh, well, crap.
So,
crap.
So right around Christmas time, she's stuck in the hospital. So because I was a good boyfriend, whenever my girlfriend at the time, I'm like 19 or 20. So whenever she wanted to go visit her mom, I went with her. And there was an older woman sharing the room with her. And it was a couple of days before Christmas Eve that we were over there. And her mom, like the doctor comes in to talk to her mom's roommate in the hospital. And her mom leans over and hands us a phone number. Actually handed it to me. And she said to us, I need you to call this number. It's this woman's pastor, because since I've been in this room with her, no one's called her. No one's done anything. Her family hasn't bothered checking in with her. Call her pastor so that somebody can at least do that. So I said, okay. And like the girl and I went to found the phones, and we ended up calling the pastor. And telling the pastor what's going on. And by the time we were back in the room, the woman was on a phone with what we can tell was the pastor. And then a couple of days later, on Christmas Eve, when we were visiting her mom, the pastor and a whole bunch of other parishioners from her church were there visiting with her. And that was very cool to me. I was happy to be a part of something where somebody who was lonely, stuck in a hospital around Christmas time, was suddenly being visited by a whole bunch of people, helping her feel like she's got people around her.
And you're part of that, man.
That's yeah, cool. That's really cool. Mm-hmm. That's very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. I think we shared plenty of Christmas spirit this episode. What do you think?
I think so.
Stories, and we had Santa, and
we had an angry Santa.
We had a happy Santa. I like Santa. Santa was fun.
How about we screw up that all up right now?
Let's just like really mess up the road.
The vibe. Let's just totally throw all that goodness out the window and mess it up.
By having a song?
Yes.
Okay. That sounds good.
Oh, it sounds like a perfectly good time for a song.
It sounds like a perfectly time. It sounds like I'm tipsy is what it sounds like. And I don't know if that's a good time to be singing, but I'm going to try and put words together in a musical sense.
This is going to be interesting. Hoeing around the Christmas tree at the Christmas brewery. The mistletoe hung where you can see. I'll just bribe them with jewelry.
Hoeing around the Christmas tree, let the Christmas spirit ring. Later we'll have a box of flies and we'll butcher some caroling.
You will get a sentimental feeling when you hear Sly's voice singing, let's be jolly, deck the halls with boughs of holly.
Hoeing around the Christmas tree, have a happy holiday. Everyone bitching merrily in the new old-fashioned way.
That's going to do it for this episode of The Hollywood Outsider.
Remember to subscribe on your podcast app of choice, or even Spotify, because we're on there too.
TheHollywoodOutsider.com is the website. Buy popcorn on Twitter, and feedback@TheHollywoodOutsider is the email.
Remember, when you head to the theater this holiday season, buy popcorn.
You will get a sentimental feeling when you hear
our voices singing, let's be jolly,
deck the internet with boughs of holly.
Hoeing around the Christmas tree,
have a happy holiday.
Everybody bitching merrily
in the new ho-fashion way.
Thank you for listening, everyone. And from all of us,
Happy Kwanzaa,
Happy Kwanzaa,
Hanukkah, and especially Merry Christmas.
Ho, ho, ho,
ho, hey, yo, ho. Merry Christmas and all that.
Oh, thanks so much, Santa. You know what? We each wrote a letter. If you got time, it's up to you if you have time or not.
Hey, you know what? Mrs. Claus, she's busy baking some cookies. She's still got a couple more batches to do. I got a few more minutes for you. What you got?
Dear Santa, I know it's been some time since we talked, and that's probably my fault.
This is confession.
The last time we spoke, I informed you that there was a mini quad frame that was on sale that I was interested in getting for possibly Christmas. To which your reply was, you already have three flying quads. Why do you need another one? And my reply was harsh right back to you, which was, Santa asked a whole lot of questions, especially considering he wants a $250 suitcase.
Right.
I apologize, Santa Claus. And I really hope that you don't take it out on me for Christmas. Anyhow, I hope this finds you well. Forever your believer, Johnny.
Well, Johnny, that's a very heartfelt little note there. And first of all, let's say the onus is on you, unfortunately. I can only receive calls because of my cell plan. I can't give outgoing calls. Who has ever heard of a phone call from Santa Claus? Nobody. Doesn't go work that way. Couldn't even take the time to get the letter. So to write a letter until now, the last minute, which is typical for you from my history. So as for your request, the request itself, yeah, I'm probably going to take this one out on you. You've got enough of them. I've watched you wreck enough of them. You're terrorizing my reindeer. They're freaked out every time they head down south of the Georgia-Florida border. They get nervous. So I don't need four more, an extra one of those flying around your neighborhood. I'm going to have to probably pass on that one, but hey, I'll get you maybe a lollipop or a little red wagon instead. You can carry the other three mini quads around there.
Fine. Be that way. No suitcase for Santa Claus.
This is Scotty.
All right. Here's my letter. Dear Santa, in years past, I fully admitted that I've been naughty and you were still very good to me. This year, I can honestly say I've been the best behaved I have in a long time. If you don't believe me, ask my co-host, Mr. Peterson. He'll vouch for me, I think. Keeping that in mind, I'd really like to jump on the 4K HDR television bandwagon. If you could make that happen, I'd be eternally grateful. Also, I'd really like to get a better quality microphone boom arm so Aaron can be satisfied with the sound of my voice on this podcast. Just trust me, it's necessary. I'm sorry I don't have a chimney in my house, so you'll have to figure out another way to break in. Just please don't set off my alarm system. It scares the cat something crazy. Thanks in advance, Santa. Sincerely, Scotty.
Well, Scotty, that's a very interesting little note you sent there. I appreciate that. I have noticed you have been better this year than in most years, and I want to congratulate you on that. I can tell you're actually putting forth an effort. It's a failing effort, but it's still a strong effort. As far as the chimney issue, that's not a problem. I've got some elves who are some pretty good hackers. They can get through the alarm system. I'll be in and out. You won't even know it, which is something you're probably used to, doing. the boom thing, yeah, that's no problem. What else? The 55K, the 55 4K TV. Do your homework. That's like saying, hey, I want a new car. There's a billion cars out there. All right. There's like a billion different types of TVs, 4K, even 4K, HD.
HDR.
HDR stuff, yeah. So focus on that. Go to a couple of websites. Look at some reviews. Narrow it down. Get me a specific model. I'll see what I can do.
Okay, I'll do that.
What else you got?
All right, well, here's mine. Santa, I've been good, and I've been – hang on, there's more.
Ish.
I've been goodish, and I've been badish, naughtyish, nicest. I've done it all. A little bit of here, a little bit of there. So I understand if you can't hook me up because of I might have crossed a line at some point. But I would love, and now I have to think because Scott already beat me to it. I would love a Sony 65-inch 4K TV, model number H34692. I don't know. Sounds good.
Which Sony?
Shut up. with surround sound and
curve screen.
No, I want a flat. I don't need a curvy. That's
backlight.
Even though I like curvy, I'm not saying anything against curvy screens. We know. I like curvy. So if you could just steal one of those from those houses you're always breaking into and just drop it off in mine, that would be stellar. Thanks, Aaron.
Mine's a Samsung, so don't take mine, you bitch.
Well, all right, Aaron. That's a very specific request. And hey, there are lots of houses that I visit. I give indiscriminately. However, Santa has been known to reallocate certain types of gifts from
Yeah.
Which may not have been intended to be gifts from one person to the other.
Yeah. So, that's what I'm talking about.
I'm not making any promises. However, it might show up on your TV stand one day.
That's my boy. Santa's my boy, Blue.
I think it's red.
Shut up. All right, I'm being naughty again. Santa, thanks so much for being here, for joining us at the Hollywood Outsider for our holiday special. I appreciate it. I know you're busy this time of year. You guys, like, it's the only time of year you're busy. So I appreciate you taking time out to stop getting fat and coming over here and helping us.
Well, hey, you know, this is a welcome break from obviously my busy season. And it's always nice to talk with you fellas. And I will do what I can to make your wish list happen. However, I'm just not making any promises because the naughty column's way bigger than the nice column. So,
oh, before you go, it's very important that we ask you this because not many people get to interview Santa. Not many.
Not many. Mm-mm. I don't do many interviews. Kind of reclusive.
Can you tell us what is the meaning of Christmas?
Yeah, it's December 25th. It's the year that we celebrate Christmas stuff.
No, so, the year? What is the meaning of it? What does it mean?
What does it mean?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
I feel all like right, I'm Santa's like, drunk now. He's getting a little bit of that Santa's, Kentucky mash.
He doesn't want to give anything up.
I can't tell you how to feel, how you interpret Christmas, and how you celebrate Christmas is up to you. You know, that's in Scott's idea might be a little different, and John's might be a little different also. However, the main thing is that Santa Claus is at the center of everything in Macy's and Best Buy.
Thank you, Santa. Thank you so much for being here. It was greatly appreciated.
Always a pleasure hanging with you guys. Maybe we'll talk again next year.